Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sacred Divergence Radio, with your hostess Reverend Elizabeth on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Listen in every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and join us in the chat room as we discuss music, magic, spirituality, and more.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Reverend Elizabeth coming to you from beautiful Pennsylvania. Tonight we have a guest with us, and his name is Reverend Phoenix. Hello, Phoenix. How are you, my dear brother?
Oh my goodness, I'm doing so good. I'm super happy to be chatting with you right now.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I know that you were waiting anxiously earlier on this evening to get the ball rolling here.
And I'm okay with that.
That's okay. We're all huge dorks in our own dorky ways. So I'm so glad that you could join me tonight to talk about a very important topic that I've been wanting to talk about on the show for a while now. And that is bipolar disorder.
Yes, bipolar disorder 1 and bipolar disorder 2.
Right, and we can also go into a little bit about bipolar disorder not otherwise specified.
Yes.
If we have time. Because, you know, I feel that we kind of missed out on Mental Health Month, but I feel that in a way, we can never really just have a month where we're looking at these kinds of things. So we've
Absolutely.
Set it up so that you will be coming on the show each month to talk about a different disorder or diagnosis with us. And I think that's really awesome.
Absolutely. And it's my hope by doing this that I reach out, or, you know, the people who are listening will, you know, be able to reach out to folks that they know who are having some kind of mental illness, and kind of coach them into finding some help for themselves.
Definitely. That would be awesome.
And I really wanna validate, you know, what everyone is experiencing in the way of mental health issues and concerns. Because the way that mental health is treated in the world today, and especially in American society, is completely unfair. So I want to draw as much
right.
attention to that as I possibly can.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm trying to open our presentation here that we had been going over. For those of you who don't know, Phoenix and I have been working on this for about a year now. And so we've come up with like this little presentation almost that's not quite done. But we're working on it.
That's what we're going to do this anyway.
Yeah, we're just going to dive in and kind of give our own experiences with it. For those of you who don't know, I do have bipolar disorder. I'm not really sure if it's bipolar 2 or bipolar not otherwise specified, but in my mind, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that I know that I have some form of bipolar and that I'm seeking medical treatment for it and that I'm seeing a therapist and that I'm getting help for it. To get better.
It's very brave, and it's very, and I'm very happy that you revealed that on your radio show, especially because of all the stigma that is surrounding mental health issues, and in particular bipolar disorder. It's so poorly represented, especially in social media, when we hear people talk about how, oh my goodness, she's so bipolar. Oh my God, he's so bipolar. Like, seriously?
Yeah, they just kind of,
not a joke.
They just kind of throw it around willy-nilly, and that really annoys me. That's one of the most annoying things is when people do that.
Like, it's not a joke. It's not funny. It's not fun. Please shut up.
Right? Okay, so let's begin by giving a definition. Go ahead.
Before you do that, I was wondering if I could please just dedicate this presentation and our show to our Karelian ancestors.
Absolutely.
I want to thank them for the support they've given me in this endeavor. And I want to acknowledge their support in everything that I do. And I really hope that this work that I am doing here with you and the work that I am constantly trying to develop makes them proud.
Wow, that's really awesome. And yes, definitely, we could definitely dedicate the show to the Karelian ancestors. I think that's an awesome idea. And I had actually forgotten that we had planned that. So I'm glad you caught us before we got rolling. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, bipolar disorder is also known colloquially as manic depression. And it is a treatable illness marked by extreme changes in mood, thought, energy, and behavior. It is called bipolar disorder because a person's mood can alternate between the poles of mania, which is high, elevated mood, and depression, which is a low and depressed mood. These changes in mood or mood swings can last for hours, days, weeks, or even months. And these highs and lows are frequently seasonal. Many people with bipolar disorder report feeling symptoms of depression more often in the winter, and symptoms of mania more often in the spring. So, as we said, there are two poles to bipolar disorder, and I have the definition of what a manic episode is, but I think we'll start off with the depressive episode first, because the depressive episode is more able to be noticed. Phoenix, why don't you tell our listeners what are the characteristics of a depressive episode? What can we look for in our friends and family members that might be having depression?
Okay, so a depressive episode is, what I say the most defining characteristic is a symptom that's called anhedonia, and that is a loss of interest in the things that you once used to love doing. And the reason why I say that that's like one of those, you know, things that you could look for first is because it's present in every single aspect of depression that you will ever see. You know, a person who used to love, you know, going to baseball games, who suddenly no longer wants to do that, that's you know, a sign of depression right there. Like, there are times when, I'm sure, you might not be in the mood, but if you look at anhedonia and then you compare it to other symptoms that are coming along, you'll start to see a pattern of depression.
Right.
After anhedonia, you see low affect, poor responsiveness to other happy stimulations. In addition to those things, you could also see, you know, more irritability if they're teenagers, because this does affect teenagers in large quantities. Trouble getting out of bed, trouble staying awake. Not wanting to be around other people, starting to isolate oneself is one of those sure signs that I look for and that other therapists that I work with look for and people who are experiencing depression. These things have to be happening for more times out of a week and more times out of a month. So a week has 7 days. You'll want to be seeing this about 4 or 5 times a week. Most months have between 3 and 4 weeks, so you're going to want to be seeing these behaviors for probably about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks out of a month. So to look at this, teenagers, they alternate between moods a lot. but you'll see that they have certain things that set them off, and certain things that make them feel happy and excited. In a teenager who is not experiencing bipolar disorder, these things will change from week to week or month to month or day to day. So today something will set them off, and then the next day it'll be something completely different. But when you're starting to notice that the same thing kind of changes who they are, who you know them to be, you'll start to understand that it's maybe a bipolar or a major depression kind of issue.
Right. Okay, so that's a depressive episode, and I want to stress that the manic episode is the cornerstone of bipolar, because without the mania or the hypomania, which is a less drastic manic episode, that's hypomania, then it would just be depressive disorder of some kind.
Right. Right. So in order for it to be bipolar, you got to be at both the poles. You got to be depressed, and you got to be at the high point.
Right. And a manic episode is characterized by excessive high energy, feelings of breathlessness, persistently elevated mood, or expansive mood, or irritable mood. And irritable is defined here as a high energy response to any stimulus. So it doesn't have to be, oh, well, I'm aggravated all the time. It can be just a high energy response to any stimulus at all. Increasingly goal-directed, and it has to last for at least a week, and is present for the most of the day, nearly every day. So that's a manic episode. So we will be talking about bipolar 1 here. And
one of the hints that I have as a therapist with manic episodes is when I'm working with a client or a patient in a clinical setting, and they really just can't sit still. So I call this motor agitation or psychomotor agitation, when you are fidgeting your hands or you're rocking the legs or you can't sit down, and you just have to be moving constantly. Like, that's one of the cues that I see in, experiencing a manic episode.
Right. It's that. And, I have this as a double whammy, because I also have ADHD. So sometimes I don't know whether I'm heading into a hypomanic episode or whether it's just the ADHD acting up. So it can be tricky to pinpoint. So that's why we have all these different criteria that we can put together to formulate, okay, yes, I am going into a manic episode, or I am going into a hypomanic episode. That's why it's just not one single thing. And I just wanted to point out also that bipolar can be comorbid with other disorders such as ADHD or adult ADHD. So that can compound things as far as getting diagnosed, as far as getting on the proper medications, as far as getting the help you need. So those are some things to keep in mind as well.
Absolutely.
Now let's see in the chat room. Oh, Glacius says hi, Phoenix, to you. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's Glacius Frost.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for coming on in.
And, okay, so let's dive right into this here. Bipolar disorder affects nearly 6 million adult Americans and an equal number of men and women. It tends to run in families, and it's found among all races, ethnic groups, and social classes. Like depression and other serious illnesses, bipolar disorder can also adversely affect spouses, significant others, family members, friends, and coworkers. It usually begins in late adolescence, often appearing as depression during the teen years, although it can start in early childhood or as late as the 40s and 50s. And bipolar disorder can take many years, many, many years, to correctly diagnose, especially in cases of bipolar 2, which has to deal with the less severe. I call it bipolar light, for lack of a better term, because you don't have the crazy spending sprees, you don't have the crazy, really, really, really high, grandiose ideas that you get when you have mania.
Right.
I've never had a manic episode before, so I'm just speaking from what I've read. But with mania, you have excessive spending. You can have joyriding, you know, going around town thinking that you're Superman. Or you think that you're rich, or you think that you're knowledgeable in some area that you have no idea what you're knowledgeable about. Mm-hmm. So it can happen in a variety of different ways, but hypomania is, I like to think of it as a creative streak that can take on many different forms. when I personally have a hypomanic episode, it tends to look like me doing a lot of different things, a lot of different small things at once, and never really getting anywhere with any of them. And that can also look like ADHD. But I think that I'm more productive when I'm in a hypomanic state than when I'm in a depressive state. Or just a normal flatline state.
Okay. So why don't you explain what you mean by when you say normal flatline state?
Well, what I mean is that it's kind of hard to describe. I'm at neither one end nor the other. I'm just kind of there. And, yep. You know, I never really experienced this until I started my medication, which was about October of last year. So, when I started this medication, I noticed it right away, within a week. I didn't know what to do with myself because I wasn't depressed and I wasn't hypomanic. I wasn't driven. I could just decide if I wanted to go outside and sit out in the sunshine. I didn't have this constant need to move around or constant need to be doing something, you know? I just mm-hmm. kind of felt normal for the first time in my life, really.
Did you just say normal?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It just, yeah, I know, right? I never used the word normal, but I felt normal. Like, I felt relaxed and not feeling that pressure build up inside of me that
right.
says, you need to do this, you need to do this right now, or else it's not going to get done, kind of thing. It's that constant pressure and that constant build up inside of me that was pushing me in the hypomania, and I didn't feel depressed either, which is really awesome, because I like getting out of bed, and I like doing stuff. I like sleeping, too, but that's another story. So, let's see. That's really all I have in our outline here, except for that, you know, it can be comorbid. What other diagnoses can it be comorbid with that you can see often?
Anxiety.
Right?
Very simple. Like, you can have anxiety. You can be bipolar, and you can also have post-traumatic stress disorder. You can be bipolar and have an addiction to any mind-altering or mood-altering substances. And Lord help you and your family if you do have a substance abuse problem and you're bipolar.
Yeah, that can be really bad really fast.
You can be bipolar, and you can also have premenstrual dysphoric disorder. You can have any number of sexual dysfunctions and be bipolar. You can have any level of cognitive functioning, formerly known as, and please excuse me and forgive me, there's not a better clinical term that I can think of for this, but you can have any form of mental retardation. I'm sorry, I want to bite my tongue for saying that, but you can have any one of those and also be bipolar. So that's like, you can have Asperger's, you can be anywhere on the
autism.
Yeah, on the autism spectrum and have bipolar disorder. So it's really, the only thing is that, like, it's less likely that you'll have another mood disorder. So, it's less likely that you'll have major depression and bipolar disorder, right? Because they're both mood disorders. So if you have major depression
right.
and then you also come to the other pole, then that's bipolar disorder. But you can have phobias. You can have sexual dysfunctions. You can have quote-unquote retardations or cognitive impairments. But the most interesting thing that I find is that there are plenty of medical illnesses that can mimic mental health issues. Tetanus is one of them. Lyme disease is another one. You can have those. Those are, you know, actual diseases, but they can mimic the effects of mental health issues in you, which can make diagnosis a whole lot harder. And I think that that's extremely important to know about, and should be considered whenever you're, you know, thinking about a diagnosis of a mental health issue. So I think the whole medical component of what is going on in your life is extremely important before you accept a diagnosis from any therapist or psychiatrist.
Definitely. I didn't know that Lyme's disease could mimic the effects of mental health issues. I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
That's something new for me.
Absolutely.
So,
are there
any
questions in the chat room so far?
Well, let's ask. Does anybody have any questions for us? Oh, it's just Asifov in there now. I don't know if he has a real vested interest in this topic or not. I know that he's a faithful listener, though. So he's just kind of along with us for the ride. Asifov, you got any questions for us? Let us know, man. He's typing now, so we'll see in a little bit. And we also have Lori Barbario Keegans, who will be coming in shortly. She just messaged me on Facebook. And Asifov says Lyme disease attacks the brain. So that makes sense. You know, if it attacks the brain, then...
Well, the brain is kind of that thing that we really, really need. If anything goes down with that, you know, we're going to act it out behaviorally and experience it emotionally as well.
Right. So ask Lori if she has any questions for us, too, because she just showed up.
Okay. One thing that I do want to say is that bipolar can take a lot of time to diagnose correctly, especially in the cases of bipolar 2. So a person who has bipolar disorder may be misdiagnosed with regular depression or ADHD, and they could be treated for those things, and then all of a sudden we see the presentation of other aspects of bipolar disorder. So it makes diagnosis and treatment a little complicated if it takes a while for these symptoms to kind of manifest.
Definitely. And let's see. So Precious Angel, Lori, says that her daughter has Lyme disease. And Astrophobe asks about, what about psychotics or narcissists and bipolar?
What was the second? Psychotic and what?
Narcissist.
Oh, so narcissistic issues. So narcissism is a cluster B personality trait, right? So you can have a personality disorder and be, or have bipolar disorder. So personality disorders exist. It's a different kind of diagnosis than mood disorders are. So you can have narcissistic traits or have a full-blown narcissistic personality disorder and have bipolar disorder at the same time. That's another kind of example of comorbidity, which is having two different diagnoses at the same time.
Right. So, my goodness, God bless you and your family if you have both those at once. I could not imagine. Talk about self-centered, man. You're self-centered when you're depressed and self-centered when you're hypomanic or manic. Oh, my goodness, what a pot of soup.
Agreed.
Yeah, so let's see. What about medications? How do the medications work? What are some of the different kinds of medications that people can go on? And what if a person decides not to be medicated? Because there are a lot of people out there who have bipolar disorder and know that they have it and aren't on medication, and they're doing just fine, as far as I've read. So,
for each individual person, it's completely up to you whether you want to be medicated or not. Each individual who seeks treatment has a right to choose whether or not they seek or, you know, take medications. If you don't want to take medications, you are completely within your right to not take medications. If you want medications, you absolutely have the ability, you know, to do so. For a long time while I was in school and doing internships and whatnot, I was almost vehemently opposed to medications. You know?
Why?
Because the way that I was taught, the way that I was trained in my master's program is that, you know, if we don't know the real and legitimate etiology or causes for these issues, how can we treat them with a pill? What is the pill going to correct if we don't know what the actual cause is? You know, and still to this day, we only have a hypothesis of, you know, what causes mood issues and other mental health issues. And the medications that we have seem to work. They seem to kind of correspond with these theories. Now that I'm in actual clinical practice, I am in extreme favor for and an extreme supporter for responsible psychiatry.
Which means
using medications in a way that supports a therapeutic value and resists the urge or the drive to kind of support a capitalistic structure that thrives on the pushing of medication.
And I would have to agree with you 100% there. We just had a comment in the chat room that from Afrofo that the prescription companies tend to abuse the medications. I don't necessarily have an opinion on that
right. Either
way.
So,
because I'm not. Go ahead.
So I'm not sure what a prescription company is. I do know
like a drug company.
So I do know pharmaceutical companies want to move their product, and I do know that they offer incentives to therapists, to doctors who prescribe medication. Now I have seen people. I have treated people. I do not have the power to write prescriptions, but I do work with a psychiatrist, and I sit around a table and talk about and converse about our clients with a psychiatrist every morning in a team. And I do see firsthand that medication could be the difference between not being able to get up and show up to therapy and being able to do what you need to do on a daily basis. So I say right now, as a former person who was always against pharmaceuticals, that I would much rather see my client prescribed pharmaceuticals responsibly and be able to make it into therapy so that we can teach coping skills than to sit here like an ignorant person and say no, pharmaceuticals don't help, because that is not true.
And I would have to absolutely agree with you. You know, for a long time, let me dive into my story a little bit deeper here. As you said before, bipolar disorder, especially bipolar 2, can take a long time to diagnose. And mm-hmm. when I first went in for treatment, my first diagnosis was major depressive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So they treated me with the classic drugs for depression.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was on Cymbalta. Yeah, I was put on Cymbalta. And I was on Cymbalta for about 2 or 3 years. And then I stopped taking it because I didn't like how it made me feel. It
yep.
didn't make me feel any better. It just mm-hmm. kind of put me in this mushy state, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's going to do that because it wasn't the right drug for my brain. So I stopped
mm-hmm.
taking it, and the symptoms returned, of course, but it was also, it wasn't all the time. I had
mm-hmm.
these periods of time when I thought that I was feeling better, but I wasn't
mm-hmm.
feeling better because I was in that hypomanic state, which can be just
mm-hmm.
as bad but I didn't know what to call it because I was like, I'm not bipolar. You can't convince me that I'm bipolar, blah, blah, blah. And then I was diagnosed with adult ADHD, finally.
Mm-hmm.
I knew for the longest time, because I had all the classic symptoms, the fidgetiness, the psychomotor agitation, the lack of sleep, the inability to get things done, disorganization. I'm a classic case. Okay, you should see my bedroom. My old bedroom at my old mom's house. It was a mess. So then I got on medication for that, which took care of the psychomotor agitation for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess when I went in for treatment about a year ago, I want to say a little over a year ago now, my therapist diagnosed me right away with bipolar disorder, but she didn't tell me about it. And we'll go into later into why you might not tell a patient that they have a disorder, but okay, so she didn't tell me about it. She kind of let me come to that conclusion on my own, and I was a little annoyed with her for not telling me, because I have always been the type of person to be right there on point. I want the proper medication. I want the proper treatment. Get me better. Get me to as quote-unquote normal as I can possibly be. So it kind of annoyed me, but then she sat me down and she explained to me the reasoning why. Because at that point in time, I would not have been ready to accept the diagnosis of bipolar disorder.
Right.
And I kind of saw her point in that. So, you know, was it the right decision? I think in her professional judgment, she thought it was the right decision. And I don't fault her for that, because she has to make the choice. You know, it's her professional judgment that matters. So she's been doing this longer than I have. She knows how people react to this kind of thing. So, you know, I wasn't entirely convinced that I had depression. So I started looking into different disorders and what I might have and what I might not have. I got a hold of a copy of the DSM. And I started looking things up on the internet. And I stumbled across bipolar disorder. I don't know how. I can't remember exactly how. But I think I took a quiz. One of those quizzes on WebMD or something like that. And and it just started unfolding before me like this beautiful flower in the middle of a desert. Because I had been thirsting, because I knew that I wasn't depressed. I just couldn't figure out what it was. And coming to the realization that I had bipolar disorder was like finding an oasis in the middle of a desert, in the middle of a bone-dry desert, in the middle of summer. And it felt really amazing to be able to do that. And that's what I hope that we can help people with here on this program and in future programs, is to maybe open their eyes to some of the things that they might not have thought about before, or that they might not have realized about one of the disorders or something like that. I hope to bring that knowledge and that experience to the table so that everybody can share and everybody can benefit.
And then another thing that I want to address after Fove, mentioned, you know, some psychotic features of bipolar disorder.
Yes.
And that does indeed occur. Psychotic features are features that talk about psychosis. So this means your auditory hallucinations, your tactile hallucinations, and your visual hallucinations. So auditory, you hear things. Tactile, you feel things. And visual, you see things. Any of those things can be present in bipolar disorder. And that's an interesting thing, is that you may be mistakenly diagnosed with a schizophrenic, schizotypal, or schizoaffective disorder, because those are psychotic disorders, which is really unfortunate, because they might start treating you for some schizophrenia when really you have a mood disorder.
Right, and that would be bad.
Right. So this is why it's extremely important to be upfront and honest with your therapist, because diagnoses are very stigmatizing type things. And that's not something that you really want to be labeled with. And I'm saying this as a mental health counselor. I see what happens to people who are diagnosed with certain things. It's not fun. It's not fair. So it's important to be honest.
Definitely. And so what are some coping mechanisms that people with disorder, bipolar disorder, might find effective?
All right, so let's look at the mania first. You know, that's a lot of impulsivity. So there's a lot of challenging of the automatic thoughts that go on there. People with mania might actually engage in some self-harming behaviors. Because mania is characterized by, you know, this grandiosity, you can overcome, you can weather anything, it leads to dangerous behavior. So this could mean driving really fast while drunk. For one, being drunk is not a good state of mind to be making decisions anyway, but that could be one of them.
Right.
Some folks could elect to cut, which is really kind of one of those side effects of mania. Folks go all night without sleeping. So I think the first coping skill that you have to develop is to understand when you're having a manic episode. You know,
right, and that can be really helpful.
Right.
Right. And that can be really helpful, because then you can better step back out of the mania and judge, okay, is this something? Or you can even ask somebody. I mean, when I'm in a hypomanic state, I will ask people, is this something that a quote-unquote normal person would do? Or am I having a hypomanic episode? And it's people I trust. It's people's opinions that I trust implicitly. So, you know, relying on family and supportive people around you is also another big thing, I think.
Absolutely. And when you say supportive people, like, I can't stress this enough, people who will look out for you. And then also it might come down to it where people might need to blow the whistle in on you. Manic episodes and hypomania can get so dangerous that you might need hospitalization. And the people that you trust might really need to blow you in. One of my clients at work, their mother called me and told me what was happening, what they were doing. So I had to issue a mental health arrest on them because their behavior was getting so dangerous to themselves. And it was going to cause a whole lot of issues. So I had to, you know, have them picked up by police officers and brought to, you know, here in Rochester where I work, we call it G1. And so that's where we send people who are having mental health emergencies. And it might not be pleasant for you, but if we got to do it to keep you alive, trust me, it's going to get done. And I tell my clients all the time, listen, you're in a hypomanic or in a manic state, or you're extremely agitated right now. I swear to goodness, if I don't hear from you by 3 p.m. today, I'm sending the police to your house. Don't try me. I'm not the one. Hate me Monday morning when you're still alive. That's how dangerous it can
be. Because you would rather have them hate you and be still alive than not hate you and be dead.
Come back tomorrow.
And
tell me how
I think,
I'll be glad to see you.
Yep, and I think that's absolutely reasonable. You know, there was a point in time when I thought that I would never end up in the hospital for anything, you know, because I was a healthy person and I always ate right and whatever. But I ended up in the hospital twice last year for suicidal ideation, which was part of the depression episode. So, yeah, it can be pretty serious. You know, it was just a quick trip to the ER, a few hours in the ER and home, but it was enough that I felt that I had to go. And, you know, I think that there's so much stigma around landing in the hospital for a mental break or something to do with your mind than a broken leg, for example. It's ridiculous. Yep. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to eliminate this stigma because it's preventing so many people from seeking the help that they desperately, desperately need.
Yep. You know, it's because, you know, seeing is believing, and you can see a broken leg, but you can't really see a mental health issue.
Right.
So, but there is no one on this planet, like, you know, everyone experiences, you know, some depression. They get depressed. So, you know, it's real. Imagine feeling that more often than not in a week, in a month, in a year. If you've ever experienced, you know, grief, imagine feeling that all the time. Like, you can't really invalidate that.
Right, exactly. You know? And, you know, imagine spectrum here. Imagine the most productive day that you've ever had in your life. And then triple that and then have it for a week straight. It's exhausting. And I speak from experience because when I come down from a hypomanic state, it is not to flatline normal, quote-unquote, normal state. It is most often I dip into a depressive state. It is like a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember the roller coaster distinctly in one of my therapy sessions. I feel like I'm living on a roller coaster. So that might be one example that you could detect in your friends, like if they feel like they're on a roller coaster ride all the time and they can't get off.
So as far as coping skills go, like it's really important to challenge those automatic thoughts, especially when you notice that you're starting to slip onto one end or the other end of the pole. So an automatic thought is a thought that you have automatically about anything that you're experiencing, feeling, thinking. Challenge it.
Right.
Argue against it if it's negative. Gambling. Listen, if you only get paid twice a week and your rent is due next week, if you have an automatic thought that says go to the casino, fight it and tell yourself why that's not a great idea. As far as depression goes, when you start getting into that kind of spiral of isolation and that nobody loves you or you're not good for anything, or what else comes up in depression, that you're incapable or that you're a loser, fight against them. If you are bipolar, chances are you've had an experience where you really kicked ass. Excuse me, I don't know if I can say that. But
that's okay, you can say
bipolar,
that all you want.
Chances are you've had an experience where you really, you know, you really did the darn thing. So hold on to that experience. And like, you know what? Well, there was this one time or these other times when I really worked out well. So I can't be a total loser. You got to challenge those things that will send you off in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and, you know, I use a technique called positive self-talk. Like, if I'm in a depression and I'm thinking that I'm, like, the worst person in the world and that nobody loves me, I will look myself in the mirror and say, Liz, you are beautiful. Liz, you are a strong woman. Liz, you are confident. Liz, you are going to rock the radio show tonight. Things like that. And it's kind of like I'm psyching myself out of the depression, or I'm psyching myself out of the hypomania.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. It really does work. I've used it before, and I'll tell you, it works almost every time. It just takes a little while sometimes for me to convince myself that, yes, I am a worthy person. Yes, I am loved. And, you know, that's why I love Facebook so much, because I can go on there, and I can reach out to so many people around the world and say, hey, I'm having a really blue, really crappy day right now, and I need some hugs. Can you give me some love, Facebook? and people yeah. respond in droves and give me pictures of, you know, we love you, Liz, and we want you with us, and we adore you, and oh my goodness, you're such a great sister, and oh my goodness, you're such a great high priestess, you know, and it makes me feel a lot better when people help me like that.
Absolutely.
So we have a few comments in the chat room. Lori is touching back on the medication a while back, and she said, so in layman's terms, medicate when needed only. And I'm like, yes, of course. And she said that sometimes it is needed, and there's nothing wrong with that. And that's something that I want to stress. Being on medication of whatever type, there's nothing wrong with it, nothing at all.
Right. It's extremely important to take your medication as it's prescribed. Report all
yes.
side effects to your psychiatrist and let them know if you are taking any other substances. Let them know if you smoke pot to relieve whatever it is that you're going through. Let them know if you drink. Let them know if you take vitamin B. Let them know if you take melatonin for sleep at night. Tell them what you are doing with your body, because sometimes the medications that you take might have poor contraindications or poor reactions with other stuff that you do. So to keep yourself
right.
out of danger, be honest with your therapist and take your medication as prescribed. If anyone else has anything
right.
to say about the medications you take, they can go fly a kite, because they don't know what it's like to be you.
Exactly. And they don't need the medication that you're on. Well, they might not need the medication that you're on. Because everybody has their own unique cocktail. For
yep.
me, I'm on haloperidol, 2 milligrams, once a day. I take it at night before bed because it makes me sleepy. And it won't cause me weight gain. And I can use it while I'm on my birth control. And there's one other thing that it didn't do that it was really important that it didn't do. I can't remember what the other thing was. But there are some bipolar medications that can cause weight gain and that you can't take while you're on birth control and all that other kind of stuff. So I went with this one. And thanks be to every god in existence. Oh, my God. It works for me. It was the first one, and it works. So there you go. It's not so easy for some people. I've heard that other people go through, like, 37 different medication combinations, and they still haven't found the right one, so their search is basically over because they've used all the options available, which is really depressing.
Yep. And that's such an interesting thing, is because sometimes we don't realize that the foods that we eat have an amazing effect on our bodies. So, you know,
yes,
some synthetic dyes that we eat can have a ridiculous effect.
Oh, yes.
Right now we're exploring the effects of red dye and blue dye on the moods
yes.
of our patients. And not just because red is hot and, like, blue is cool, but, like, literally the chemicals, you know, red and blue, number 40 and number whatever, literally have an effect on the mood. And the more of it that you consume, the more of it we start to see. And if we don't know this, if, you know, we can't think outside the box and, like, kind of explore what the diet is like, you know, it makes it a little bit harder to pin down what's going on. So,
right.
you know, medication.
And that's a... Mm-hmm.
Medication is good. It's not perfect, and it will take a while for you to find something that's, you know, going to work with you and work with your diet. I'd say commit to, you know, consuming as little synthetic as you can while you're searching for your medication, and slowly start to reintroduce your favorite things into your life. That way you can see and you can know what is having an effect on what. Kind of like when you, you know, are screening for allergies in your children, you know, as they grow up. You feed them a little
right.
bit of different foods at a time, so you know what has what kind of effect. And that's almost like what you have to do when you start taking a new medication.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it's a great point that you bring up about the dyes that we put in our food, because I used to love orange crushed soda, but it has yellow number 6 and red 40 in it.
Oh dear.
And One of my mental health professionals that I was seeing suggested that I quit drinking crushed soda and anything with yellow sticks and red 40 in it. And I was like, why? And he's like, because it's affecting your mood. It could affect your mood. And I'm like, wow, I never thought of that before. So, you know, it's these little things that can add up to the stack of whether or not you're balanced or not.
Okay.
And I think that's a better word than normal is balanced. And I couldn't find it before, but I knew what I was talking about. What else can we tell people? Wow, it's almost 11 o'clock already. What else can we tell people about bipolar disorder that we haven't already covered?
So there are some myths about bipolar disorder.
Yes, lots of myths.
So taking large doses of vitamin B can eliminate bipolar disorder symptoms. Not quite. And I hate to sound so sarcastic about it, but not quite. Vitamin B can help with certain symptoms, but only on the depression end, right? And if your bipolar is not have an etiology based in a vitamin B deficiency, then it's not going to help. You'll just have a lot of vitamin B in your body, and your urination will be extra yellow, but you'll still have
right.
A lot of folks believe that bipolar disorder is just a fad because we use it so colloquially. You know, they're in a good mood for 1 minute and then, you know, something random happens that no one else notices and it kind of makes you upset. So you express that and folks are like, oh my goodness, you're so bipolar. It's like, no, literally 10 seconds ago something made me upset, I'm not bipolar. So it's a real thing. It has real clinical implications. It can really muck up your life if you can't get a handle of it. Another one, happiness is a choice. Well, gee, let me just go fly a kite then. If it was so easy for me to just choose happiness. Like, happiness, you can choose to be happy in certain situations, but at other times, it's not a choice, and you really have to struggle. Think of a time that you've had a loss in your life. Could you choose to be happy just then? No, you couldn't. Imagine cycling between being happy and extremely agitated or sad and extremely agitated. Could you just choose to be one form or another? No, you really can't. You know, there are a lot of things that go into consideration when your mood is at play, especially over a long, prolonged period of time. All of us would love
right.
to wake up every morning and just choose to be happy, but it's not realistic under any circumstances.
Right, and I completely agree with you. And that's another thing I want to bring up, is that sometimes the time frames for these diagnoses can be really wonky. For example, when you mentioned you're in a good mood 1 minute and then the next you're in a bad mood, that's me. I am, what do they call it?
You're a rapid
cycling. Yes, I rapid cycle. So I can be awesome 1 minute and then depressed the next, and I have no idea why. I have no idea what just happened to me. But all the life goes out of me, and I'm no longer the life of the party. I know sometimes on the air it can be really hard to believe, but trust me, it happens. What do you do, like, if you're a rapid cycler and you just don't know how to deal?
So one of the things that I tell my clients is that when you feel this happening, start to deploy your coping skills immediately. If you feel yourself going downward, refuse to isolate. So I don't know if that's one of the things that you do when you start to head downward, if
yes.
you start to kind of...
Yes.
back away from
it. I will force
refuse to do that.
I will force myself to socialize.
And that's one of the best things for you. Be surrounded by people who will and can remind you of how awesome you are. If you start going to the manic end, you got to be around people who can keep you grounded. For some folks, it's really severe to the point where they have their paychecks direct deposited into their parents or, you know, their loved ones' account so that they can only have controlled access to it. If you are not trustworthy with yourself, you got to be honest with yourself. While you're in treatment, when you're still liable to relapse into old, unhealthy behaviors, you got to be honest and do what you need to do to make sure that you can keep your life in order. You know, I think there's something honorable about someone who comes up to you and goes, you know, I'm really struggling right now with this, and I need you to take control of my money to make sure that I can, you know, provide the way I need to provide because I do have responsibilities. That's
right.
Responsible.
Yeah,
that's an honor.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree with you 100%.
If your impulsivity has you going to all corners of the universe and back, you know, you got to hang around people who can tell you, like, listen, you are not being yourself right now. I feel like you are capable of doing almost anything, and I'm going to stay with you, and I'm going to do my best to kind of spy you and help you make proper decisions and remind you that what's going on right now is one of your cycles. I'm going to remind you to take your
right.
medication.
Yeah, that's really important is because if you miss, like, even one dose of your medication, it can seriously throw you into a tailspin. Trust me on this.
Yep.
It's not pretty. I've missed a dose here and there, and I regret it the next day, man. Oh, my God. I cannot tell you. I will wake up, and I will feel it. Like, oh, crap, I forgot to take my medication. I have to be extra careful today. You know, about what I say, what I do, and, you know, the things that I'm thinking about, you know, because it all piles on top of each other, and, but usually I'm pretty good about taking my medication. I have a pill minder type thing, like one of those 7-day pill pack things with AM
okay.
and PM.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I use to help me remember. And it's always out in the open so that I can see it and so that I can remind myself, hey, I got to take my pills, you know. And it's even to the point now before I go to bed, I ask myself, did I take my pills?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time. So developing good habits is another
yep.
way to combat the effects of bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are some more myths about bipolar?
All right, so another myth is that prolonged substance abuse can eventually lead into bipolar disorder. That's not true. There is a category in our diagnostic criteria that, you know, talks about mood disorders when you're under the influence of substances. So this means that if you are under the influence of a substance and you are experiencing mood issues, but then as soon as you come down off your substance, the mood disorder is no longer present, it's not, you know, a genuine mood disorder. It's an issue with the substance that you're using.
Right.
So another myth is that people with bipolar disorder are inherently unstable or violent. This is also not true. It doesn't have to be that way. Some folks are sicker than others when it comes to this issue. And I put it like that to be completely honest. However, being diagnosed with a bipolar disorder doesn't automatically mean that you're unstable or that you are violent. And another thing that really kind of grinds my gears about people who are diagnosed with a mental health illness is that all of a sudden they're no longer allowed to have emotions. You can be diagnosed
right.
with bipolar disorder and still have normal, quote-unquote normal, you know, feelings. You can experience happiness, sadness, motivation, guilt, shame, envy, anger, and so on with any one of these mental health illnesses, and it can be completely unrelated to your diagnosis.
Exactly. And that's something that also, as you said, grinds my gears to a major, major degree. It's not always about my diagnosis, people. Seriously, come on. I'm a human being. I have a full spectrum of emotions.
Yep. So if someone is behaving to you inappropriately and you respond, you know, if you have a reaction to the way someone's behaving to you and that person doesn't like it, it has nothing to do with bipolar. or a mood issue. It has everything to do with the behavior that they've approached you with.
Right.
So I would like to issue a challenge to anyone who's listening. I would like for you to find a pagan deity who exhibits bipolar type qualities. Now, I do have a few in mind who, you know, swing from one end of the spectrum being very kind of mild to the other end of being kind of hypomanic, making destructive decisions. And I do have examples of when, you know, our divinity experiences a type of depression. But I want to challenge anyone who's listening to kind of find, you know, examples of this in our faith. Because I holistically believe that what we feel is directly mirrored by the way our divine feel. So that's my challenge to anyone listening.
Okay, so Astrophobe suggests Loki. Like, right off the bat, that was, like, the first thing out of his brain was Loki and Zeus. And Zeus.
Okay.
And I could definitely see that.
Okay.
And, you know, I guess I never thought of this before. And Jehovah?
Okay.
Those are the three that Astrophobe came up with. I can definitely see it with Jehovah, yeah. For real. You know, with the whole flood thing.
Right.
He was really depressed that day. Or,
like, seriously,
or
a flood?
Yeah, to wipe out every being on the earth, except for all those in the little boat. So I don't know if that would be depressive or manic. Would that, or psychotic,
it's
maybe?
It's definitely impulsive. It's like, you know what?
Yeah.
Flood. That's the answer. Like, it's definitely impulsive. Can you imagine Jehovah just pacing back and forth in heaven, like, what am I going to do about these people? Nope, flood. That's it.
Flood. That's the answer. That is the final answer. Push the button. Flood happens. Oh, my God.
But keep looking. I definitely see how Loki, with his, you know, impulsive ability to kind of stir things up, but then also kind of come back and fix things out of guilt later on, could appear to be,
right,
you know, within the kind of bipolar-esque behavioral-wise. But keep looking. Keep looking. Look at some shapeshifters. That's one of the things, like, I'll leave that as a hint, but look at some shapeshifters.
You know, one person that comes to mind, and I don't know where this comes from, is Persephone. You know, how could she not be living half the year in hell and the other half on the world, on the earth? How could she not be at least somewhat bipolar?
All right. I like where that went. Indeed. I do like where that went.
Okay, so let's see. Lori says, how about Lilith? And then Astrophobe says, Jesus, quote, Dad, you need help, unquote.
All right.
Oh, my goodness, that's so funny.
So
are you going
to... talking to the whole like, Dad, you just want to kill everyone, huh?
Right? So, why don't you give us one of your examples? I know that you said that you wouldn't, but just one of your examples to kind of get us on the right track of our thinking here.
I gave you guys a hint already. So
I don't know any gods that can shapeshift. I mean, I might be a bad pagan for saying this, but what gods can shapeshift? Come on, people, give me some help here. I know we only have, like, two live listeners right now, but for crying out loud.
So Zeus can shapeshift, right?
Who?
Zeus can shapeshift. And I think he might have already been mentioned. Zeus. Thunder.
Yes, Zeus. Yes.
Think about Athena.
Oh.
Now we think of her as ever wise and, you know, loving, and she's really cool with her battle strategies, and she's a virgin and gentle. But, like, seriously? She'll turn your ass into a spider in no time.
Right? You're right about that, huh?
So, that's where I went to immediately, and it's just by, like, I've looked at some of the mythology pertaining to her, especially, and also with Medusa, and just refusing to, you know, help, and just, like, not really wanting to be bothered. You know, I kind of view that as a depression, you know, not really feeling or being or willing to be, you know, helpful in that moment when Medusa was in her temple fleeing from Poseidon. But also,
wow, I never thought of it that way before.
You know? So, like, there are a bunch of other examples out there, and I'm also still on a quest to kind of find them, you know, for my own kind of research. But that was one of the
right.
more interesting ones that I came up with.
Wow. Yeah, I never really thought of it before that way. Oh, goodness. Okay, so we are at the top of our hour. Do we have more for people that we haven't covered yet? I know this is a really broad and really deep topic that we're talking about here, but do we have anything else, or can we call it a night? It's up to you. I'm putting the cards in your hand.
I'm completely okay with calling it a night right now. If anyone wants to continue this conversation, I haven't picked out a topic for next month's mental health issues. So if anyone wants to hit up Lady Elizabeth or hit myself up with a desire to continue this conversation, I'm down with doing it again next month.
Sweet.
Or if they just have any random questions, they can hit either one of us up and we can come up with an answer. So I'm okay with either one of those.
Awesome. And Lori asks, where can we find you, Reverend Phoenix?
Facebook. So I am.
And
Phoenix
I will get that link. There you go. All right, there you go, everybody. Rev.OmegaPhoenix. Is where you can find Phoenix on Facebook, facebook.com/rev.omegaphoenix.
Thank you very much.
And Astrophobe says, I'm calling it a knight who says, me! In the style of Monty Python, of course. Always our jokester. Okay, so let's wrap up the show here. You guys know where to find me by now. I'm at lizhamilton88@gmail.com for all your questions, concerns, and answers. You can find me on Facebook at, hold on, facebook.com/liz.hamilton88. Yeah, so facebook.com/LizHamilton88. Check out Elizabeth Hamilton Media. You can also check out Sacred Divergence Radio and give us a like there. And you can also use this awesome topic hat hashtag that nobody seems to be interested in on Twitter. If you have any topics for me there, I want to preface this or postface this with, let me know that you posted a topic by emailing me, because I don't always check Twitter. I'm really, really bad at checking Twitter. So email me if you put something out there. Say, hey, Twitter, I have posted something there for you. Go check it out. And I will do that. So, yeah, this is really awesome. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight, my brother. I love you so much. You are, like, the best.
Word.
And to close out, I think we're going to play a song, and it's going to be Catapan by Darv the Bard, because I love this song. And then we'll have our closing, and then we'll say goodnight to everybody. So, blessed be, everyone, and we will see you next month right here with Reverend Phoenix again. And, of course, next week I will be here, as always, to entertain y'all with something or other. I will think of something. Final thought.
Good night.
Good night. We love you.
Sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Have a topic for us to discuss on air? Connect with Reverend Elizabeth at sacreddivergenceradio@gmail.com and on Twitter at sdivergence with hashtag topic hat. See you next week at 10 p.m. Eastern here on Sacred Divergence Radio and the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.